Hello, I'm Phil Little, host of the Private Investigator Experience podcast, where we talk about the life and cases of a PI. It's interesting that with all the things going on in the world, I thought we had enough of issues to talk about around crime and violence. And then, of course, October the 7th happened in Israel, and the world has come apart since then. So we've got so much to be looking at and thinking about that I think we're all just kind of overwhelmed, aren't we? It's coming from everywhere. I find I'm saying so much, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that's happening. Or I'm amazed or astounded, and I hear so many others saying the same thing. So I'm looking at something today that is called the romance fraud in the private investigative experience or in law enforcement. I get asked a lot why I left the public sector for the private sector. The main reason, I had a lot of ambition. I'm a very active person, and I didn't like the limitations and politics around government work. I like to do investigative work without all of the paperwork and restraints of the public sector. Yeah, we have a lot of reports in the private sector, but it's a little different. I also wanted to be in charge, and I knew that would take a long time in the public sector, and you're never totally in charge there. Yeah, I like that old saying, you know, the buck stops here. I wanted that to be with me. In the private sector, I can pick the cases I want to work and have others work on the cases I don't. And one big plus is I get to work all over the world if I wanted to. And that was a big attraction to me. And over the last 45 years, I've developed close friends all over the world. And I've seen some beautiful places and worked on some very, very interesting cases. I've said in the past that if we people in the world got together, because I found that we're basically the same, we want the same things out of life. But if we could get together as just the people, we could solve most of the world's problems. Get the politicians out of the way, who often have their own issues and desires, and that they're working from, that's not always in the public interest or solving the problem. One type of case that we've worked on a lot is one that's getting some publicity more so today. It's called the romance fraud. Most people I talk to don't know anything about that unless you've had a family member or a friend get wrapped up in one. Romance fraud, even though perpetrated over the internet, is not a new crime. It can be traced back to the 16th century, where it was known as the Spanish prisoner scam. And I don't really have time to get into that, but that's a pretty interesting scam they were using back then. Well, who should be concerned about this type of crime? It is not just men scamming women, but I have worked some really creative women scamming men cases. And it's not people with just one social status. It goes across the whole social status as we find victims. If we have an older family member who is widowed, we need to be attentive to their online activities and be aware of actions that might show something is going on. Also, single people, late 30s, 40s, and 50s, who haven't had a lot of experience in dating, and they're getting online, and they can easily now be targeted by a scammer. Dating sites are one of the top platforms used by scammers. But I've also been amazed by the professional people, such as doctors, who have come to West Coast Detectives for help after being scammed. Now, this was back the first one I've remembered so well. And I'll never forget this one with all the thousands of cases that we've worked, but this was before, way before the internet. And it was just back when it was the old mail service and newspaper ads and other ads that might be out there. But this was a very successful doctor out in California who came to my office and said he had a problem and he didn't want anyone to know about it. I assured him that his secret was safe with us. Well, he pulled out a photo of a file, a very beautiful woman standing by a Ferrari, a collector Ferrari. I said to him, well, that doesn't seem like a bad problem to have. And then he told me the story. It started with him looking for a Ferrari like the one in the photo, and he saw an ad for one in Europe and made contact with a person who turned out to be this woman who was supposedly a broker for the owner in Italy. You know, sometimes though, the photos aren't really of the person they say they are. The communication started with letters, photos, and ID info on the car and talking about the price. This went on for over months of time. As time went on, then it became phone calls. And the woman was very charming and suggestive. Said she'd like to come to the States, particularly California, where he was at. The money need started with funds for, well, some modifications, insurance, the expert paperwork on exporting, and fees and so forth. This went on for months. And by the time she had convinced the doctor that she would be coming with the car to meet with him, and romance was in the air. As the months passed with issues coming up with the car, and some mechanical or some minor accident damage, getting the car to the port, needing more funds for the export, all the time sending photos of the car and herself in very different seductive poses. And by the time he came to me, he had put $1.8 million for the purchase of this car. Sitting in my office, I think he had come to the conclusion that this was a scam. And he wanted me to get his money back, I thought to myself. And this is something for all of you listening or watching. If he would have come to us when he first found this ad and started talking, by spending a few $100s on background work and the abilities we have to determine if something is factual or not, could have saved him $1.8 million. But greed and also romance seduces a lot of very smart people. And he turned out to be one of those. I had agents on the ground in France and Italy. And when we took on the case and we helped identify the scammers and put them out of business, but the money was gone and out of reach. Also, at that time, the issues with trying to get criminal prosecution with the multiple countries involved was very difficult with this type of case. It was hard to convince law enforcement and international things that had to be done that this scam was caused by the person being susceptible and getting sucked in, but it wasn't something that was looked at as very critical for international agencies or getting Interpol involved and all these things that would happen. Today, it's a little better with the technology that we have. Well, what are the signs of a romance scam that we could help our families avoid this very personal and costly experience? Identifying the modern romance scam, remember, there's no single type of a romance scam. They vary by the nature of the crime, means that it will turn on the individual approaches and responses between the perpetrator and the victim. However, research highlights several common features of the modern romance fraud, and these can be presented to aid our understanding of the behavior. The vast majority of romance frauds begin in online dating sites. Some begin at physical single nights, but those tend to be more common, with dating sites being the most obvious starting point. Online dating has become one of the biggest successes of the internet, and it's become much more acceptable to the public, with so many people have had successful connections over the internet, gotten married, and had very successful and happy lives. I think most of you would be surprised at your oldest single family members who are on a dating site. The majority of the cases we have worked on over these last few years has started on dating sites. The danger for the victim of a romance scam is that the perpetrator is a professional. They specialize in developing a connection between the victim, which breaks down their ability to suspect a fraud. It's not unlike we do on our work. When we are working on a case and we have a suspect involved that we're going to have some interaction with, we try to learn everything we can about them. What they like, what they think, what they react to, the things that would turn them off. We do a deep dive study on them so that we know them well, so we can interact with them and do the things that pushes their positive buttons, not the negative ones. Online dating sites are considered to be a fruitful hunting ground for these types of scams, partly because there is arguably a self-selecting potential group of victims here. These victims on these sites are looking for romance. They're looking for happiness and joy. And they are open to communication from other people. They're not. It's not like they're suspecting. They think, well, the people just like me, they're looking for that perfect relationship, that perfect experience. Now, when the communications start, and this is a warning sign, very quickly, they want to move their victim from these dating sites or social media onto a private email account, which helps them guard the security of their actions. They know if they stay on a dating site or the social media, word might get out, somebody might pick up on it and be able to trip them up some way. So they want to get you in a closed communication that others won't have access to. And then they will move as time goes on to either voice communication. And if they're not concerned about their identity, sometimes a lot of these romance scams are men posing as women or women posing as men, or it can be anything. And so they'll never post a real picture of themselves. The photos they give you will be of a beautiful woman or a handsome guy, and you will never have a face-to-face, FaceTime, or Skype conversation with them. And they're trying, they will telephone and they'll talk, and they're trying to develop this connection of a trusted relationship that they want the same thing that you want. They're looking for that perfect match for the rest of their life. And sometimes they'll portray that their lifestyle and their success is totally different than what it is, that they have vast resources and they're willing to spend it on you, so to speak. Now, sometimes these perpetrators take months to develop a deep relationship with the victim, so they feel connected. And then when they're presented with a financial need by the perpetrator, and because there's a barrier to you meeting them, all they need is a little money to solve this problem. And we'll live happily ever after if we get this problem solved. So that victim just, without even thinking, says, how much do you need? And it starts from there. And the cases I could tell you about, I don't think there's any scam that I haven't heard about or seen work they've used to get money out of the person. You know, well, just recently, we had a family friend that contacted us that wanted to borrow some money that the short term, because she had a big payday coming. And this was, we found out that we get to dig into it, that she had connected to this man on a dating site. And apparently this had been going on for several months. She had already sent a lot of money, and she was convinced that this was real and this was going to be the man of her life. Even though we tried to explain to her, once we learned gently, that this is a problem and you need to do some due diligence on this person and find out what's really going on. And at this point, I don't really know if she's taken us seriously or not, or what, she kind of shut off communication in that area. But sometimes it's very hard and difficult to get our family member or friends out of it. And remember that these perpetrators are polished, they're studied, and they learn the personality of the person very quickly, and they're really good at tearing down red flags that you might have to think, well, maybe there's something to this. There's so much more scam with the internets because there's worldwide connections, and there's also worldwide ease of transferring funds. So usually these people post that they're out of the country or some other place, and they've got excuses for sometimes lack of communication or different things. But the money can be transferred very easily anywhere that they would like you to send it. Now, I was thinking, when I first got involved in the private sector back in the 70s, the big scams then, way before the internet, were coming out of Nigeria, and they were using the mail, and they were mailing out thousands of these, obviously. And in fact, I was part of some work down in Ghana where we raided some of these scam houses that had come out of Nigeria and set up over in Ghana, because everybody got to know and be aware of so much is happening now in Nigeria. And they had these rooms full of these people at computers just cranking out these scam emails that were going out all over the world at that time. But before that, they would send out letters, and the original ones that I began to get was that they needed your help in getting money out of the country. They were part of a banking organization that they had this person that had died and left all this money, and they wanted to get it out, and they just needed you to help, and they would give you 50% of it. And then when those got kind of known after a couple of years, the next ones that started were letters coming to churches, nonprofits. Some I was involved with it on the board of, I'd get a call and say, oh, Phil, guess what? We're going to get a big donation from... I said, where's that from? And I had to tell them It's not going to happen. It'd be nice, but that's a scam. And sometimes they had trouble believing it, and things had to go on a little ways before they would finally realize that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. The best way to deal with any of these types of scams, the romance scams today, is to prevent it. Get involved with older family members or friends and do some prevention by educating them on the dangers of social media. I found that over the last years, as the communications become and technology become much more advanced, we would have, usually it was women that were coming to us and saying, I met this man on an airplane and we've had some relationships start, but I'm concerned. And then she would have us check him out. And most of the cases, they turned out not to be someone that our client would want to be involved with. They got wise and spent a little bit of money to find out who the person really was. And we helped him from becoming a victim. If you have any questions about a specific incident, or maybe a family member involved in something you would like to get some information about how to help them, you can contact me at plittlepi777@gmail.com. Now, there's so many different types of scams going on. And on a future post, I'm going to deal with another one that we've had a lot of cases on, and it's a precious metal scam. And the excited victim, and many of them turned out to be our clients, they were so excited about receiving that box of precious metal coming in, and it was out of the African region. But then the joy was quickly gone to anger and panic because sometimes millions that had been spent was there with their box full of rocks. So I'm going to look into that some. Would you help me by liking, sharing, and subscribing? You know the drill. Hit that notification bell so you'll know about future posts. Please leave me any comments or ideas for cases of a certain type you would like to hear about or know about. Or if you have a problem and you would like to see if a PI can help you, let me know and we'll get you information that will give you some advice. You can leave comments on any of the platforms, or you can email me again at littlepi777@gmail.com. Until next time, be safe. May God bless you, your family, and may God bless America.